20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Sunday, Packers fans. Welcome into another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are less than 20 days away from the NFL draft. Today, though, what we're going to be doing is not specifically anything draft related. We're going to be looking at the 16 teams in the NFC. And I want to go through kind of some offseason power rankings here, because I think it's always interesting to look like kind of after this free agency foray and some trades and some coaching changes and those sort of things, and look at where these teams stand as we get ready for the draft. And clearly, some things are going to change potentially in some major ways in the NFC, depending on how this draft goes. Look at the Rams from a season ago, right? Where would they have been on defense had it not been for Braden Fisk, their unbelievable defensive tackle? And then, of course, the other one was Jared Verse. Like, those two guys coming in and making a massive impact on their defense after the retirement of Aaron Donald, that completely changed their team. And there's no way that they would have been, in my opinion, as far as they got in the playoffs, had it not been for their success on the defensive side of the ball in that draft. So a long way to go. And I think it's also worth noting here, like, this is obviously not how things are going to end up, right? Injuries are going to play a major factor, and there's a lot that's going to change between now and the end of the season. But as we look at these rosters right now, where does Green Bay stand? Where does this kind of pecking order shape, you know, kind of shape up? And I also want to look at some of the moves that were made that are going to affect these teams, especially at the top of the list, as we get ready to go. It's still a ways away, but as we get ready to go into this 2025 season. So we are going to start right away at number one with the Green Bay Packers. Now, just hear me out. I'm just kidding. We're not going to start at number one. And spoiler alert, the Green Bay Packers are not at number one. I hope somebody, by the way, just clicked stop right there and started typing their comment of course, Green Bay was number one. I will get a great joy out of that. All right, we are going to start at number 16. And to me, this has to be the New York Giants. And there's a couple things that they've done, right? The Malik Nabers draft pick last year is an unbelievable player. Getting Tyrone Tracy later in the draft, he looks like a real legitimate running back for them. They go out and really help their secondary this offseason, getting Javon Holland and Paulson Adebo. I think that's going to help quite a bit. Dexter Lawrence is one of my favorite players in the league. They still have Brian Burns rushing from the edge. The offense outside of Nabers and Tracy is still a complete mess. They bring in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. I don't know what's going to happen there. I can probably tell you it's not going to be great. Their offensive line is still a complete mess. They don't have the tight ends. They don't have the weapons. You know, Slayton, they signed back to a big deal. Jalin Hyatt hasn't been what they've expected. It's hard to put together, as of right now, a Giants outlook that looks really good. And maybe they take a quarterback at three, but I don't think they're going to take Shedeur Sanders at three. And I expect Cam Ward to go number one unless they can find a trade up. Even then, like, you're going into the season with Winston and Russell Wilson and Cam Ward, like, or Shedeur Sanders. That feels a little bit odd that they went in that direction as well. I do not like what this front office does almost entirely. Like, giving up on Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney completely altered the NFL a season ago. It's crazy. And I just don't have any sort of positive outlook. Maybe they end up 15th. Maybe they end up 14th if they overachieve, but there does not seem to be any world in which this ends up being a very good season for the New York Giants. Number 15 is the New Orleans Saints. I think I'd rather be a Giants fan than a Saints fan. I think I'd rather be the outside of the Vikings and Bears, obviously, which is just but outside of that, the Saints would be the lowest of the low on my list of teams I'd want to be a fan of right now. They are in salary cap hell. They're in complete purgatory. They are unwilling to rip the Band-Aid and say, we just got to get through this salary cap hell. We're going to be a bad team for a couple of years, but we're going to get through it, get back, you know, fiscally responsible, financially responsible, and then go out and actually try to compete again. But they're not. They're going and continuing to re-sign old players and restructure Derek Carr, and they're just in the ultimate worst case scenario, no man's land. And they might end up better than 15th on this list. Then maybe they end up closer to a 7-10, 8-9 team. It's almost worse. It's almost worse because there's no upside for this team. They have no salary cap space. They refuse to take their medicine. And probably the only thing that could help them is if they actually did finish a season really bad so that they could finally probably recognize, all right, we have to rip the Band-Aid here and tear this thing to shreds and actually get a top three pick out of it in the process. But instead, they keep being, you know, 6-11. Good luck with that. It is a nightmare situation to be in. They bring back Derek Carr. They got Spencer Rattler. I expect Carr to start. I expect that they're going to see Rattler at some point in time this season. Like I said, they're in salary cap hell. They bring back Brandon Cooks. Why? Why are you doing that? Dylan Radunz is a smart, low risk, high reward signing. I have no issue with that. They bring in Justin Reed. Why are you bringing in Justin Reed? Why are you bringing in a veteran safety to that group? That was the missing piece, Justin Reed. Just save the salary cap space, my friends. Just, you're not competing for anything at all. You're better off losing right now. Just take your medicine. It doesn't make any sense. Their team is old as hell. Alvin Kamara is old. Tyrann Mathieu is old. DeMario Davis is old. I love a lot of those players. They're just old. They don't have any real chance on this season. Chris Olave's been hurt. It's gross. I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. They're a really bad franchise right now. And again, maybe they end up better on this list record-wise. It will feel hollow and shallow, and it will not matter one iota whatsoever. Number 14, Carolina. I wanted to actually find a way to put them higher. I just can't. Like, I actually really thought that they overachieved a year ago, especially the way things started. Bryce Young started to find a little bit of a rhythm. They added a little bit to their defense. Bobby Brown, Tershawn Wharton, Trayvon Morrig. It doesn't feel like it's enough. They have a severe, severe lack of weapons on offense. I really liked, again, some of the things that got them kind of trending back in the right direction last year. I think that's probably all this is. And we'll see what they end up doing in the draft, and we'll see how they kind of navigate the, you know, this season and kind of going from there. And if they at some point try to maybe be a little bit more aggressive in free agency and things like that. By the way, I'm totally fine with them not making that plunge as of yet. They're not ready for that. I did think that they took a small step as kind of the year went along, but as of right now, still have to put them at number 14. Number 13, in our bottom four, we are going with our third consecutive NFC South team, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. I'm excited for the Michael Penix experience. I'm really interested to see how that goes. I like their weapons on. I like their offense, by the way. I think Penix fits this offense. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. You've got Drake London, Darnell Mooney, who you know I really like. Even Ray McLeod is actually fun player within that offense. The offensive line is really, really good. Like, it's just a good, solid offense. Now, can they get enough out of it? Can Penix play well? Can they put up points? By the way, they're going to need to because their defense is really a nightmare factory. You have AJ Terrell, who I like at corner. Jesse Bates is one of the best safeties in all of football. And then good luck. And then good luck after that. Couple okay pieces here and there. It is a barren wasteland. They don't have edge rushers. They don't have pass rushers. Their interior is a wreck. It is in need of a complete and utter overhaul on defense. And they're not going to get that clearly in one draft class. So because the defense is so bad, you're basically going with a very inexperienced quarterback. I know he got some time a season ago. For that reason, I have them at number 13. Number 12, the Seattle Seahawks. I think this team is pretty well run. I think John Schneider does a nice job. I think, you know, McDonald is doing a good job in kind of putting his imprint on that team. I don't think they're going to be an easy out for anyone. But it feels like they're kind of in this, are we going to rebuild? Are we not going to rebuild? We're going to do some stuff, but we're not going to go all the way. They trade away DK Metcalf. They trade away Geno Smith. You have Sam Darnold coming in. I don't mind that move. It feels kind of going from one solid but not great quarterback to another solid but not great quarterback. But I like both of them, quite frankly. I think it just kind of stays even with going from Smith to Darnold, but we'll see. Gone is DK Metcalf, in our Cooper Kupp and MVS. I think linebacker, corner, defensive end could use a lot of work. And like I said, it just kind of feels like a little bit of a rebuild or just kind of a rebrand right now. Doesn't feel like they're really ready to compete on any real level. I don't think they're an easy team to play. I think they're going to be a tough out, but that's as far as I can get with it. I put them at number 12. Number 11, we're going to another NFC West team here, back-to-back, Arizona Cardinals. Some key questions here. How far can Kyler take you? That's the big one. The next thing is their pass rush. Their pass rush was awful, like just god awful a season ago. So what do? They bring in Josh Sweat, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Calais Campbell. That's going to help. No question about it. That's going to help. But Josh Sweat is a good but not game-changing defensive end. All right. Dalvin Tomlinson's not really a pass rusher, and Calais Campbell's 1,000 years old. I love Calais Campbell. One of my favorite all-time players. 39 years old though. And it, at some point that wall's got to hit, right? Or just how much you can play him, how, what kind of impact he's going to have. Was still really good a season ago. Also not like a dynamic pass rusher and certainly not at this point of his career. But they helped it. The question is how much. I still feel like they need more pieces on defense, and it just doesn't feel like this team is cohesive enough yet. It feels like there's still pieces missing kind of everywhere. I can't really put them any higher than this, but they come in at number 11 in the NFC. Number 10, Dallas Cowboys. My question is, what the hell are they doing? I have no idea. And I get a lot of money to Dak, a lot of money to CeeDee Lamb, hopefully for them, probably a lot of money to Micah Parsons coming up, but this is a team right now that is Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Osa Digizua, Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, and a lot of question marks. A lot of a team that you, again, probably just leaves a lot to be desired. They've really refused to spend any money in free agency, at least in external free agency. And it just feels like they're constantly trying to tread water, but they're actually drowning and they just don't realize it. Some really, really talented players on this team. Some really talented players. And I'm a Dak believer, by the way. No, there's not a lot of those. I am a Dak believer. I think he's a really good quarterback. Now, come playoff time, he's going to have to prove himself if and when they can get there again. But regular season Dak, I think, is a really, really good quarterback. I just don't see it. You know, we'll see what they do in the draft, but I still think their offensive line needs work. I think they need a running back. I think they could use a complement to CeeDee Lamb. I think they could use pass rush. Like, there's just too many gaps there. And I don't see a team that's going to be aggressive in filling those. And then I go back to, the hell are they doing? I don't know. I don't get it. It just feels like at some point they went from this team that's like, we want all the shiny toys to, now we're going to actually be a draft and develop team, and we're not going to do anything else. It's so weird. So weird. But you do you, Dallas Cowboys. Number 9, I don't know if I'm just getting fooled for the second consecutive season, because I did think Chicago was going to take a bit of a jump last year with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze and some of those pieces, and let's just say it didn't work out. Maybe I'm getting fooled again here, and I actually probably would have put maybe even considered putting them a little bit higher, but I'm not going to try to get fooled again. I'm going Chicago. It feels like they had a really smart attack to this offseason. Now, I don't love every single one of these moves in totality, but I love the philosophy. Let's fix the offensive line. Let's fix the defensive line. Let's get a little bit more depth and competition and just talent in the trenches. And we kind of went, they video game shopping last year and forgot to get groceries. And now it's like they realized, oh, just last year we had video games, but we didn't have any groceries, and we kind of starved ourselves, and now we had to go and just get a bunch of groceries this year and really kind of fix the trenches. But it was the smart thing to do. They get Joe Tooney, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson on the offensive line, Dayo Odengbo, and Grady Jarrett on the defensive line. Again, I don't think it's perfect, but I think they did a lot of really smart things there, and the overarching philosophy is smart. Add in the fact that they get Ben Johnson as head coach. Dennis Allen was a really smart defensive coordinator hire. All of the pieces now seem to actually be fitting into place. There's actually not a ton of gaping holes that you look at in this roster. I'm also a little afraid that they're going to get Ashton Jeanty at 10. And if that happens, like, I'm actually going to have a little bit of a concern there, because he is a phenomenal, phenomenal football player. I really don't want him to end up in Chicago. So that concerns me a little bit. The question, of course, is Caleb Williams. And that's kind of it. If Caleb can be the quarterback that everyone expected him to be coming out of USC, this unbelievably talented kid who can hit all areas of the field, make plays with his legs, he has the ability to be a great quarterback. He wasn't last year. He did not go through progressions the correct way. He held onto the ball way too long, tried to do too much. It was a train wreck. But it was a train wreck in an offense that didn't work, in a coaching staff that was a mess, and their coordinator was gone right away. It just ended up being, a real disastrous situation for Chicago. We love that. But now, can Ben Johnson, with an offensive line, defensive line, and now, of course, last year, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, the pieces around him, can they actually put it together? I don't know. I hope not. I hope they continue to fail, I guess. But I do think they're going to be better. They come in at number 9. Number 8, Tampa Bay. They're just a good football team. They're a damn good football team. Baker's a legitimate quarterback. They bring in Hassan Reddick. They don't really do much else than that. They bring back Chris Godwin. They still got Evans and Godwin at wide receiver. It doesn't feel like they did anything to get significantly better. It doesn't feel like they did anything to get significantly worse. It feels like they're right on the cusp of being like that 6-7 seed again. I would bet that they fall somewhere between 5 and 9, not record-wise, like the fifth seed and the ninth seed, meaning either a couple games out or a couple games in to the playoffs. But it's just that. They're a pain in the ass to play. They're a good football team. They're sneaky good. And I don't think they've got it significantly better to raise it any further than that. But I don't like playing that team. And I think everyone just kind of goes into Tampa or plays Tampa and is like, oh, we're going to have to really prepare for these guys because they're well-coached. They've got a good roster. Just doesn't really elevate above and beyond that. But I like Tampa. I could easily see them being in the playoffs, but they come in at number 8. Number 7 is a team I have no idea what to do with. That is the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, a non-Super Bowl dynasty is what I would call them for a handful of seasons there under Kyle Shanahan. Really great every year, but just couldn't get over the hump and actually win a Super Bowl. Had a roster that was more than capable of winning a Super Bowl for multiple seasons. But now it feels like they are starting to fall apart. They were terrible a season ago, suffered all the injuries. Just every injury was a San Francisco 49er. And they're getting older. Trent Williams is getting older. Kyle Juszczyk's getting older. George Kittle's getting older. Fred Warner's getting older. Like, it's just, you're starting to see these guys kind of age in real time. They lost Aaron Banks to the Packers, Deebo Samuel, Javon Hargrave, Tre'Davious Ward. They're starting to bleed some players because they can't afford everyone. They've had some good draft picks, but nothing that's really elevated them as of late. Brock Purdy, just how good can he be to elevate the team moving forward? It feels like a team that's on the decline. I think they still have an opportunity to kind of get in that playoff spot and maybe cause a little bit of chaos, but it doesn't feel like they are. Christian McCaffrey's another one that's getting older. Doesn't feel like they still have it in them to make that Super Bowl run. So playoff worthy, sure. Above and beyond that, they're going to have to go out and prove it because I think it feels like they're really legitimately on the decline at this stage. Number 6, this might be high. I'm going to vomit in my mouth saying this. I still believe in the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're a really, really good football team. Of course, the big question is J.J. McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers or whatever they do at quarterback, right? I think it's going to be McCarthy. I was pretty high on McCarthy coming out of the draft. I think he's a good quarterback. I thought he looked good in preseason. Are there some things he needs to work on? Yes. But if they get that right, there's no holes anywhere else. They go and get Ryan Kelly and Will Fries on the offensive line. They trade for Jordan Mason, bring back Aaron Jones. Of course, they've got J.J. McCarthy and Jordan. Sorry, they got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. They also have J.J. McCarthy. On defense, they bring in Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave on the defensive line. Isaiah Rodgers in the secondary. You go and look at their depth chart, and there's not pieces missing. Their pieces all fit very well in Brian Flores' defense. They did not lose Brian Flores, which was a concern going into the offseason. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, T.J. Hockenson still strikes fear. No two ways around it. Their offensive line is better. Christian Darrisaw is back. They add two pieces from the Colts. It's a good football team. It all comes down to J.J. McCarthy. And they have a quarterback's coach and a head coach in Kevin O'Connell that I trust about as much as any quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, play caller, coach trio of anyone in the league. They do a great job of setting up that offense and quarterback for success. If McCarthy can make it anywhere, it's probably with, you know, O'Connell in that offense. So that's the big question mark, but I still think they're going to be a very good football team. Hate to say it. Hate to say it. Number 5, I'm going with the LA Rams. As mentioned earlier, they revitalized their defense with Braden Fisk and Jared Verse. By the way, can you imagine if all of a sudden Aaron Donald's like, actually, I'm going to come back and play this year with Fisk and Verse already on that line? Like, whew, that'd be very scary. I hope that does not happen. But they completely revitalized their defense this past year. Now on offense, Cooper Kupp is gone. They bring in Davante Adams. This is already a team that was competing at a high level last year. It looked like they were this close to like Stafford being gone, McVay maybe going into like broadcasting and announcing, and it almost felt like they were going to tear the entire thing down. Now all of a sudden they're back, and with Davante Adams, it feels like they can compete at a very high level. They were the team that gave, you know, Philly really all they could handle in the playoffs. This is a really good team. And just how long Matthew Stafford can continue to play at a high level will be interesting. But when you got Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Davante Adams, it's a good way to keep him playing at a high level. Thought bringing back Alaric Jackson was really smart. Still a very, very good football team. I'm going with the Rams at number 5. Number 4, going with the Washington Commanders. Good football team. I hated their offseason. And I do think they're going to hit a little bit of the wall that kind of Green Bay hit a season ago, where they overachieved And then I think you gain a little bit of confidence and like, look what we can do. And I think they'll come back to life a little bit this year. Not a ton. We're still talking about the fourth best team in the NFC and a team that's going to be a really tough out, whether in the regular season or in the playoffs. I am a Jaden Daniels believer. I thought he was fantastic a season ago, and I think that's going to only continue. But I didn't love how they spent their offseason. They traded for Deebo Samuel. They traded for Laremy Tunsil. Samuel should fit well in that offense. I don't have a question about that. Tunsil was not having a good time in Houston. Like, it was not an impressive performance this past year. And I think he is a little bit overrated. Then with all this money, they signed Javon Kinlaw, who was not good at really any stage of his career. Will Harris, like, it just felt like they had so many opportunities to really add to this team in a more aggressive way. Jonathan Allen's released. And instead, they just end up being like, meh. I really hated their offseason. I felt like they really could have gone aggressive and really built this team to be a legit Super Bowl contender. And right there with Philly, it just felt like they fell really, really short of that objective. Number three is your Green Bay Packers. Maybe a little bit aggressive here, but I didn't like put them in three because it's the Green Bay Packers. And yay, if I would have thought they were six or seven or eight or nine, I would have put them in those spots. This is where it just came out as I was putting this together. Listen, the team's been good for 2 years. The question is, can they get better? Two big question marks, Jaire Alexander, what happens there? And then Christian Watson with the injury. But Jaire barely played last year. And for as much as Christian Watson was an impact player at times, he played about 550 snaps. You're probably equating him to get, like expecting him to get about 100 this year. So you've got 450 Christian Watson snaps to replace. And if I had to guess, Jaire Alexander probably was not that much either. I didn't look it up ahead of time, but I can look it up really quick right now. And Jaire Alexander played 232 snaps this past year. So 232 for Jaire, and Watson had exactly 554 for Watson. And then again, 361. I was looking at coverage grades for Jaire before. So 361 for Jaire, and then again, 550 for Watson. So you've got, you know, 900 snaps to replace there between those two, assuming that, you know, Watson doesn't get back early and assuming that Jaire is gone. But those are your big two questions or players who were here from a season ago that you're missing. Every other like subtraction feels like addition by subtraction. And Eric Stokes, Josh Myers, a key example of that. They add on Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks. And you know, both of them should be impact players in each of their respective positions. Nate Hobbs is going to be a starter in the secondary. Aaron Banks is going to be a starter along the offensive line. Those, it feels like, by the way, Hobbs is going to be a huge upgrade for Eric Stokes, and Banks is going to be a huge upgrade for Josh Myers. So I think just replacing those is going to be big. And of course, just like all the teams, you still have a draft that can improve the team as well. I believe you have everyone that's basically still in the prime of their career or coming into it. And I think the big question also remains just how good can Jordan Love be, and can he be a player that's leading a team to a Super Bowl and not just, you know, kind of being a part of it along the way or whatever. Not saying that he necessarily was, but I do wonder if he can be kind of that next tier guy that's really one of your drivers towards the Super Bowl. But they come in at number three. Number two, Detroit Lions. They lose Aaron Glenn as defensive coordinator. They lose Ben Johnson as offensive coordinator. How much does the brain drain affect them? How much does it affect them that they just can't seem to get over the hump? They can't win a playoff game this past year. And it feels like, you know, maybe they're a great regular season team and just can't be that team in the playoffs. This is a huge year for them. They're going to hit that wall eventually or just lose that window. I think it's still wide open for them. They lose Carlton Davis. They replace him with DJ Reed. That should be at least neutral, if not a slight value add. And the big thing is they get Aiden Hutchinson back, a unbelievable playmaker, arguably defensive player of the year before he went out with the injury. And he's going to be a monster for them. Getting him back probably covers a variety of different ills on that team. That's a big add. And I think they're still one of the top teams, should be one of the favorites in the NFC. But I am curious to see how they do without Ben Johnson and without Aaron Glenn. And last but not least, we don't need to go over it in great detail. The Philadelphia Eagles, phenomenal football team, Super Bowl winners. But I'll tell you this. They didn't add a ton this offseason. They just didn't. They didn't have much money to spend. They kind of retained their players. Getting Zach Bond back was huge. Darius Slay, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Isaiah Rogers, Mekhi Becton, CJ Gardner-Johnson, and Brandon Graham are all gone. I'll say that list one more time because it's not an insignificant list. Darius Slay, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Isaiah Rogers, Mekhi Becton, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Brandon Graham, all gone. Dallas Goedert is probably on his way out. They're trying to trade him away. That is a ton of lost resources. And if there's a team that has the ability to replace it, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got a draft that's going to help them a ton coming up with that as well. That is a lot of players to lose in one offseason coming off a Super Bowl win. There will be an opportunity for teams to overtake them. Still think they're going to be great. They still have to be number one on the list. But that drain of really talented players is going to definitely hurt them, hurt their depth. And we'll see if they're complacent as well coming off a Super Bowl win, or if they're still as hungry as they were a season ago. So just to recap it, number 16, New York Giants. 15 is the New Orleans Saints. 14 is the Carolina Panthers. 13 is the Atlanta Falcons. 12 is the Seahawks. 11 is the Cardinals. 10 is the Cowboys. 9 is the Bears. 8 is the Buccaneers. 7 is the 49ers. 6 is the Vikings. Number 5 is the LA Rams. 4 is the Washington Commanders. 3 is your Green Bay Packers. 2 is the Lions. And 1 is the Philadelphia Eagles. Let me know what I got right. Let me know what I got wrong. That's probably more fun. Just let me know what I got wrong. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Where would you rank these teams 1 through 16? Hit me up in the comments. That's going to do it for me today. I will see you guys tomorrow. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gisford, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkle Stinkle, and Jen Wright. See you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.